thing. Look at that. From a per capita supply standpoint, it's flat. We are consuming the same amount of beef today as we were 15 years ago. 66, 67 pounds a year. Glenn, ain't it great? Same supply, 25% higher prices. That's how this thing works. Same supply, and we get it sold at 25% higher prices. Is that incredible? Tom, does that business model make money? That works. That's what's going on. We better take care of demand, hadn't we? We better stay focused on it. Look at that increase in spending. For a decade, your consumers, your demand said your product was worth $46 billion a year. That's all it was worth, $46 billion. Now look at it. $70 billion, $71 billion. Pretty incredible, isn't it? A little more money to come into the top end of that funnel. That's what you should visualize. There's more money coming into the top end of the funnel. That's why you're getting a payday. It's pretty plain and simple. Now, has the demand growth slowed down? Has it slowed down? This is something we need to understand. Demand is still very good, but the year-on-year growth has slowed down. As we measure this stuff day in and day out, month in and month out, we measure it at the fed cattle level, at the wholesale level, and at the retail level. The year-on-year growth has slowed down. We're staying at a very great, good level. Very good level, but we're not seeing the year-on-year growth. Now, should we be a little bit concerned about some of the things that are going on in the economy? What about spending $300 billion in the Gulf Coast states? Obviously, just an unbelievable tragedy we've seen down there. The devastation, I can't even imagine what those people are going through. And if you all haven't reached in your pocketbook to help on those efforts, I'd say, get her done. Because that's something, if it happened to any one of us, we'd need that help. We'd need that help. But from an overall economy standpoint, with all the increase in fuel costs, heating costs as we go into winter, are we going to see that potentially impact people's spending habits? I don't know the answer to it, but I'd be lying to you if I told you I wasn't concerned about it. If I wasn't concerned about that over the course of the next 6 to 12 months. We've seen a lot of inflation in these markets. We've seen it in a lot of these commodities. You've seen it in your land values. Some of us talked about it a little bit last night. This thing looks a lot like it did in the 1970s. And we all know what happened as we got to the end of the 1970s and the early 1980s. So just be careful in here. Be careful. We've had a great run. We've had a good ride in here. It's going to stay good. We're going to stay at new and higher trading range, at new and high levels. But we need to be careful because there's a lot of inflation that's taking place in the market, and there's a lot of people in here that are better economists than I am that can give you some additional insight on that. But it does have me concerned. We've got high retail prices. They're going to stay high. Even though wholesale prices have dropped off their levels that they were in the fall of 2003, we're $50 below those highs. Retail prices don't change. They move to a new and higher level, and they'll stay there. We'll see more featuring activity like we've seen over the course of the last 60 days. We'll see more featuring, but we aren't going to see those prices really trend much lower over the course of the next 3 or 4 years, even though our supplies increase at the rate of 1 to 2% a year. This is the time in the cycle that food service, retail, packing segments make more of the money. They will make more of the money over the course of the next 3 to 5 years than what we do in the production segment. Now again, I'm not saying they're going to make it all, but they're sure going to make more of it. Look at the new and higher trading range here from a cutout standpoint. This gives you 20 years of data. Annual prices on the choice cutout, okay? look at how we moved in here through this period of time. We didn't spend much time below a dollar. Little time in here, right at the toughest part of it in the mid-1980s, in here in the mid-90s, but we spent a lot of time from a dollar to a dollar 20 on the cutout. Now I would tell you that that dollar 20 level is going to be excellent support for us. It'll be very good support over the course of the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And these levels up in here between $1.50 and $1.60 will be resistance for us. Again, we have moved it to a new and higher trading range. We will see that move all the way through our system, whether we're talking about fed cattle, feeder cattle, or calf prices, bull prices, etc. Salvage value prices on these animals, all of those things will come together. Real quickly with grain. Corn getting a little bit cheaper here. It has, hasn't it? It's worked a little bit lower, but I would tell you, as we look down the road with all of the increased emphasis on ethanol production, the growth that we expect there, what this market's going to need to do here over the course of the next couple of years, how much grain will move to those markets, I wouldn't go to sleep here. We've got record usage in this corn market. Most of us don't understand the impact that higher grain prices have on the value of the calves, or lower grain prices for that matter. A 50-cent change in corn prices, has a huge impact on the value of these calves. So don't forget about that. Don't forget about it as you think, you look down the road. I would just tell you that corn's not going to get a lot cheaper than it is right now. And over the course of the next 2, 3, 4 years, we're going to see it get higher, and it'll get enough higher that it'll get people's attention at some point. You know, $3 corn, $3.50 corn, that looks like a long ways away today. But we'll see those kind of levels again at some point. Fed cattle prices, again, when I look at that, fed cattle prices, we're going to spend a lot of time from the low 70s to the low to mid 90s over the course of the next 5, 6, 7 years. That'll be our new trading range. Let's just call it from 70 to 95. Beats the heck out of 58 to 82, doesn't it? Again, a new and higher trading range. Feeder cattle prices, we've seen the same thing happen there. They've moved to that new range. How about calf prices? I wish I'd have brought the data to show you the ratio between the value of these 550-pound calves and bull prices. You wouldn't believe how tight the relationship is. Are bull prices overvalued today? Not when we look at that data from a historical standpoint. They're really not. They really aren't. But I forgot to bring it. Doggone it, John. Well, I'll have to send you the data and you guys can publish it at some point. I think it really is pretty insightful to look at that over a long period of time. Again, we've moved these calf prices to a new and higher range. That's what's supporting the value on these bulls. Bred cow prices, the whole nine yards. All that comes together. Salvage cow values, all of these various prices, they add up, and that's what supports us at these new and higher levels. Most of you have seen this data. You've seen it in one form or fashion over the course of the last 10 years. I don't know that I've done a presentation anywhere, regardless of the topic, that I don't talk about this. Because I think this is really our industry right here in a nutshell. This is our industry right here in a nutshell. We spend a lot of time talking about averages in this business. These averages probably don't fit any one of you in the room. Probably don't fit any one of you. And we look at the variation. Year in and year out, the difference between the high return producers and the low return producers, that's what you have here. This is the average returns for the average cow-calf guy in the country. This is the same for the high return producers versus the low return producers. This is a third of the producers in the industry. This is a third of the producers in the industry. We starting to get the picture? Look at the difference there. This is you. This is the commercial cow-calf man in the United States. This is exactly the same thing that we see at the purebred level, at the seed stock level. The same kind of variation in cost. This is economics of our business right here. How much money did these guys make if they were average from 1980 to 2002? Add up those bars. How much money did they make? The big zero. Made about $3 a head. It's nuts, isn't it? Is that a perfect commodity market? Go back to Econ 101. It should work out to a zero over time, shouldn't it? A zero-sum game, if that's the market environment that we're operating in. We shouldn't make any money. How about these guys up here and these guys down here? Why do we have 400,000 fewer cow-calf operators today than we did 30 years ago? Why? All you have to do is look at this. It's right there, isn't it? It's right there why we have that many fewer cow-calf operators today. The target is moving. That's the other message here. If you're not getting better, you're getting average. If you're getting average, you're going out of business. That's the bottom line. Unless you got a whole lot of money that you want to continue to feed into this system. We have to challenge ourselves to get better over a long period of time. The difference in returns here are phenomenal. We're talking about $100 a head just in difference in the cost side and another $50 a head from production. $140, $150 a head a year in average returns. This is at the commercial level. How about when we look at it at your level? We've got to measure it. If we can't measure it, we can't manage it. We have to be able to measure all these factors in here if we're going to manage it and make the changes we have to make in our overall market. You think our competition around the world is excited about some of the opportunity they may see in our market? We are the biggest beef market in the world. Not the biggest exporter now, but we are the biggest consumer of beef from a tonnage standpoint, not on a per capita basis, but from an overall tonnage standpoint. The United States is that. Look what our exports have done. Again, huge growth. If we started over here in 1980, it was just a continuation of that trend. We moved up here where we were exporting 2.5 billion pounds. This year we're going to export maybe 650 million pounds of beef. 650 million pounds. What about our imports? 3.8, 3.9 billion pounds. Y'all know why, right? Y'all see why. We aren't producing any ground beef here in the United States. We got to bring in more of that product. So when it's all said and done, this is what our trade looks like. Again, we've been in here, we've been in a situation, we've all been making money, we feel good, but I'm just telling you, you add those two things up from where we were pre-BSE, look at where we were compared to where we are now. It's cost us over $7 billion in the last 2 years as an industry. $7 billion. That's a lot of money. We have to be able to trade. We've got to get these export markets reopened. I think I've laid that out for you, the importance of getting that done and getting it done in a timely fashion over the course of the next several years. Where are we headed? What are we going to look like? What's in the crystal ball? How are we getting along here? We all feel good right now, don't we? Look at the changes in this business. This is to give you just a real quick glimpse of the structural changes that are taking place. These are the people that you're serving. These are the people you're serving. Look how it's changed here over time. This is from 1987 to the 2002 census. Look at the number of operations in here that had from 100 to 200 head of the cows. We've increased about 6,000 operations, haven't we? Look here, from 2 to 500. We've increased another 5,000 operations. We've increased a little more with these bigger operations. Where are we losing operations? These smaller ones, aren't we? We are seeing fewer operations. That trend is going to continue, and the average size continues to grow. What's your service package? How has your service package changed to modify the increasing size of the operations that you're servicing out there? Have you made changes? Are you doing more? The average size is going to continue to increase. The average size is going to continue to increase. We are going to see a consolidation in the number of decision makers at all industry segments. There will be fewer decision makers all the way through, and I'll show it to you this way. Look up and down that list. We already talked about cow-calf producers. What about feedlot producers? Well, we talk about the top 2% controlling 85 to 90% of the fed cattle. Let me put it to you this way. The top 50 feeding organizations are feeding about 65% of the cattle today. The top 25 are feeding 45%. 65-45. Ask Mr. Brink when he's up here whether you think that's going to increase or decrease over the next 10 years. Where's it going? We're going to see fewer and fewer of them. Larger, more sophisticated operations that have an end product in mind. The packing industry, we're seeing the same thing there. Supermarkets, food service. Tom went through some of that data last night. Are we changing the way we're marketing cattle? Most of us saw what happened in the pork industry, how rapidly it changed. We're going to see more and more fed cattle marketed in some sort of a relationship over the course of the next 10 years. Fewer sold in the cash market, more of them sold on a value basis with the hide off. Instead of, hey, they look pretty, I think these are good ones, we're going to sell them based on what they really get done, what they do. That's the only way we can be rewarded in this business. Remember, average, you don't make any money. Why have we seen this change? Because we don't make any money selling on averages. So keep that in mind. Do you know how all these bulls you're producing, the offspring of these bulls, do you know how these cattle are performing in the feed yards and how they're performing on the rail? What Tom said to you last night is not down the road. It is here today. All you have to do is sit down and watch any of these video markets, any of the markets that take place in the direct trade, and this separation has taken place today. He who has the data wins. I can't emphasize that enough. He who has the data wins, and we're going to see that really show up here over the course of the next several years. In a nutshell, we talk about, hey, we want all these cattle to be yield grade 1, 2s, and 3s and fall somewhere between prime and select. This is our target area. Right here, the green and the yellow. That's where we want them to be. How are we doing? Is the market saying we will reward for product that will fit into that target area? Look at the data here. The premium choice, or CAB to select spread, $15 over the last 3 years. Look at it here with the premium choice to choice spread, $6.51. The market says there's a value there. The market says there's value there. The choice select spread on average has widened over a long period of time. We've moved to a new and higher trading range with the choice select spread. And yet we look at this. The percent choice in our marketplace. We've given this a lot of lip service over the course of the last 10 years. We pat ourselves on the back that we're doing a better job. Look at it. From 1995 to 2005, we're within 2% of where we were. We've got a few ups and downs. We've done that at the same time the cattle identified with Angus type have increased substantially. Are we being accountable? Are we? You know, the market is going to sort this out. We're in a process in here over a period of time. Source and age verified cattle is here. This discussion on source verification, I can't believe we're still having it. You know, we need to get past that and get on down the road. That decision was made on May 20th of 2003. That discussion ought to be off the table. It ought to be implemented. We need to get on down the road. You understand, as we move to these kind of systems, we're going to be able to build more data onto that information highway, that backbone. You think this may be an opportunity for you to go to those people that you're serving, your customers, to help them in this area? If I were in your shoes, I would be figuring out a way that I could do that very thing right there, because I want their data. I want to know how the bulls that I'm providing those people, I want to know how they're working in the system. Without it, if you don't know that, it'll be very difficult to still be in this business 10 years from now. That's how quickly this market is changing. So keep that in mind. We've got a lot of changes. We've got a lot of these things going on. We're seeing a lot more of a coordinated production system. We've got a beef market that is huge. It's a growing beef market. 26 million or 28 million head of fed cattle on an annual basis. We process 540,000 head of fed cattle a week. That's 26 billion pounds of beef. 26 billion pounds, 500 million pounds a week. 1 week's production, 500 million pounds. Jim, certified Angus beef production is 550 million pounds roughly. 1 week's production in our marketplace, 500 million pounds. Hopefully that gives you a perspective. It gives you a perspective out here of where we're going, what kind of market size we have, what kind of market potential we have as we move down the road. We are going to see more branding. We're going to see more branding. We're going to see more differentiation. Absolutely no doubt about it. We're going to see more globalization, increased competition. It's here. It's happening in a big, big way. We're going to see fewer operations. Yeah, we're going to stay at some new and higher levels. We're going to be in a good economic environment in total. Are we going to maintain the same profit margins we have over the last several years? Cow-calf man's going to get along pretty darn good. The cattle feeder, stocker operator, the margin segments of this business, it's going to be more and more difficult for those industry segments to make much money here over the next several years. But again, I challenge you. I challenge you to think about demand. Think about what demand has been worth to this business. Think about demand for the product that you're providing those people year in and year out, what it's been worth to your individual business, and what are you going to do to keep your demand. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you. I know you're going to have a great rest of the morning.